I've, you know, always kind of looked forward or looked up to the men that would come up here and share their lives and a retreat. So I inwardly longed to do that. And when I got the call to see if I would agree to speak, I was a little apprehensive, obviously. But, you know, God said, hey, you know, I've been around the movement a long time, and he said, well, basically, it's your time. So I accepted, and I'm thankful for that. I thank you guys for hanging around and hanging with me. I've enjoyed it. It's been a real, you dig deep into who you are when you do something like this, and with the pains and the joys and the sorrows that get welled up and the emotions that go into it and come out of it. So anyway, it's been a real pleasure, and I'm very honored and privileged to be able to do it. And so I thank you for that. You know, in my closing notes, I just want to pray that it might be beneficial in your walk with Christ as it's been with mine in your daily challenges. You know, so basically it kind of mirrors the questions that we looked at in our small group as well. So I'll just go into that, what I had put down. So one of them wasn't on there was anger and dealing with anger. Anger's been a part of my life for many years. I feel I've come some distance down the road of recovery from that. It still wields itself occasionally, but so much further than where I was or where I've been. The Bible says, do not be angry, but do not sin. So I take that to heart. And you know, the tennis racket thing, tennis rackets are less likely to be smashed, whatever. I'm trying to get out there and say, okay, this match doesn't really mean anything. It has no significance whatsoever, but here you are getting, you know. So I'm still dealing with that one in other areas as well. But again, knowing that, you know, that just to be able to be 71 years old and be out here to hit a tennis ball, what a great gift that is, you know. I mean, come on, let's be real about this, you know. But anyway, I'm still dealing with that. Selfishness, still dealing with that. Pride, you can call it pride, call it whatever you will. But, you know, again, God has been working on me. You know, Satan has his weapons to defeat us. But again, through God's grace, we can march forward and overcome it as best we can, especially when a life of marriage where selfishness is, you know, can be a relationship killer. And so trying to humble yourself and really learning that and trying to apply that in my marriage, that so that I'm doing what I feel is the best, even though it may not be interpreted as the best. In my heart, I'm trying to do the best, you know. Perfect example. Go to the store and get me this. Oh my gosh. That is just a recipe for disaster. So I mean, my percentage of being accurate on it is I'm 99% wrong. She sent me a video of this guy going to the grocery store, and she sent him to get groceries. So and he's got this portfolio he's going in there with, and it opens it up and it's got each thing there with the exact. I said, that's what I need. I said, for now, send me a picture. I need a picture, you know, because you know as well as I do, I'm going to get it wrong. That's just the way it is. I walk into a store, something, it's going to be wrong. I may get 5 out of 6, but something's going to, you know. Anyway, so we're working through that. It's pretty good. Enablement, I definitely, it's a deceitful emotion that I dealt with for many years, you know. Again, it's a lot applied to guilt. Guilt plays a big role in this enablement stuff. For me, it did anyway. Guilt of my son having to grow up in a divorced home and blah, 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 and letting him basically rule the roost where that was totally inappropriate. So I pray that if you're dealing with that, then, you know, look at it introspectively and seek help or confide in a brother, because enablement, it's so detrimental to the child. I mean, God said discipline your children. If you love your children, discipline your children. And don't make excuses that, oh my gosh, they are this and that. Believe me, until I did that with my son and I finally said, "That's it. I'm done with your crap." That, and he finally understood that I was serious. Then it turned around, and not until then. And if I hadn't have done that, it'd still be going on. So anyway, I talked about forgiveness. That's a big name. There's a lot involved, a lot wrapped around that. But to get a handle on it and to be able to understand the freedom that's in, God has given us in forgiveness. God forgave. He's on the cross and he said, forget them for they know not what they do. I mean, if he can be there being crucified, nailed to a cross and come out with that, I can certainly find within my strength to forgive someone for some, insignificant thing. But, anyway, you get the picture. An eternal perspective. This is basically in the last few years when I, got to the fourth quarter of my life, really start to zero in on this, why am I here? We go through, talk about purpose statement and reality. The reality is we're here for a breath of time. And then eternity comes along. So where are we going to be in eternity? I mean, this is our proving ground for eternity. What position are we going to play? Where are we going to be in heaven? I mean, we can. So for me, it may be a small thing, but I'm sitting there at the, it's a hot 100 degree day outside. Well, what could I do rather than sit here and watch TV? I'm going to load up a cooler with cold drinks and I'm going to go find people on the street. They may be on drugs, whatever, but it doesn't matter. I go back to the rich man in Zechariah sitting out in front of his gate and his swords and everything, dogs licking his wounds. And, the rich man wouldn't even give him a drop of water. Well, that kind of rang close to me. I said, I'm going to go out and do something, I'm not just going to sit here. I've got to go out and do something. So I know God will honor that. You might think, that's all workspace. I don't believe that. The Bible says there will be rewards for your efforts, He'll be rewarded. So, it's as biblical as it can be. Anyway, so that's where my perspective has come to. And it's a healthy perspective, It's a servitude heart. And so that's why I want to continue. And I pray that God will allow me to do that. Just being able to stand, period. I mean, I've got a buddy that I dealt with for years. He came to Christ through our relationship. And now he's got Parkinson's, just terrible. And his poor wife is trying to, he weighs 250 pounds. He can't walk and talk. And, he was a vibrant guy. I dove in with him forever. And, and he was very active in the Christian works. And now here he is just, my wife has really taken up the torch and going over there to help. And, it's really an eye-opener. And I know you all probably experienced some of that. But for me, this is really the first, close encounter with this type of a situation, So I look at myself, I said, I'm in pretty good health. God's blessed me with that. And so my wife says to me, "Don't you get sick?" I said, "Well, you better get on. You better get on lifting weights or whatever, because don't you get sick?" I said to her, "Look, this could happen to either one of us any time." And believe me, I'm not intending to get sick. That's for sure. But still, it really brings it home. Really hits you home. So anyway, there's other aspects: faithfulness, integrity, honesty, truthfulness, and through the application of all the above, love is the result. Love is what the bottom line, God is love. God doesn't know that's God. God is love. The definition of God is love. So all I want to leave you with is I love you guys. You've been such a great part of my life. The last 35, 36 years has been awesome, First 35 was full of adventure, insanity, craziness, but, it was all God's plan for me to be standing up here today and being able to present. So I really thank you for that. And it was really cool. I really enjoyed it. I think you can tell that it was pretty. Writing all this, it took a lot. A lot of emotion went into it. A lot of stuff came out, welled up. But, Satan was trying to, and I said, yourself. Anyway, thanks, man. Appreciate it. Love you all. Yeah.
Yes. Johnny, questions?
Okay, fire away. Okay, good. Well, thank you.
So, how was Gabby when your wife came back from
Atlanta? 8.
And how was Gabby now?
19.
Has Gabby mentioned some observations, anything at all?
No. Really, never. I've never even mentioned it, to be honest with you. It's just an episode in life.
And Jim and I talked to Brad, because I think the next part of the story, I would really pay good money to listen to, and it's at God's time, it's for Lay, his wife, to talk about this process. Has Lay said anything to you about the love and over her, the grace?
No. It's coming around, though, man. She has actually said she loves me more than ever in our marriage, you know, which is really, I mean, for her to say, I love you, it's a, you know, that's a big, that just doesn't happen. You know, it hasn't happened. It is starting, too. And apologizing, yes, believe it or not, even today, I go, that, you know, that's pretty big. So. Yeah. And we're doing it. So it's great, you know. It's Well, that's a good, very good question, you know. I don't see a whole lot of fruit. I see this fruit now with her willingness to serve our mutual friend and going in there going in there in the battle that they and so that's where, you know, it comes out. It's not going to come out verbally. I mean, she puts up with me, so I mean that's a gift in itself, believe me. But you know, I just sent her a note. I said, "Man, I try my best, and I really am trying to do the best for the family that I can. And I know, and I understand it. I screw up all the time, and I said sorry about that. But I really am trying to do the best for everyone. So anyway, yeah. So I pray for her and." Pray that the fruit, you know, I think this servitude that she's into now, and her Brazil is in a very bad state. The state she grew up in, the whole state, which is the size of Texas, is underwater. I mean, it's really bad. The state, I mean, cities, hundreds of cities are underwater. It's just been raining and raining and raining and raining. And she was down there taking her mom. That's when it started, and it just kept on. To show you how bad it is, the city where her sister lives is called Porto Alegre. It's a city of about 4 million people. Their football stadium's underwater. That's how serious it is. I mean, when a Brazilian football stadium is underwater, holy cow, that's like a national disaster.
Is that the Amazon?
No. The Amazon's way north. This is south. She lives way south, just north of Iguazu Falls, about 4 hours up north of Ecuador, Peru, Ecuador and Argentina border. That's where she grew up, little farm town, you know. So yeah, I pray for Brazil because Petrobras here in Houston flew a plane down there with relief supplies, and we must have packed 2 truckloads of stuff to go down there to help in the relief effort. You know, it's bad. So I mean, we've got a bad up in Livingston and Montgomery, no doubt about that. And this is so widespread, though, it's overwhelming the country, you know. So anyway, any other questions?
Is Brazil, what kind of government do they have then?
It's going social. I mean, it's. I'm afraid of it getting to be like Venezuela. To be honest with you, this guy Lula's in there, and he was in prison for bribery and extortion and all that, and they switched the constitution so he could get out of that without, you know, and then he got reelected. And so it's, you know, their one saving grace is their oil, you know, that they're producing billions of barrels of oil. So that's the saving grace.
Offshore.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway. Well, no, it didn't. Venezuela is mostly on land, and Venezuela, how that happened, you know, I was there, and like I said, in 82, and they were rolling high cotton, you know, And to have it go from that and just now to where it is today, and the poverty and the it's just mind-boggling. But socialism will do that, you know. Mm-hmm. Well, what they did too was when Chavez was in there and ruling his power. If you control the military, you control the country. You know, that's basically it down there. Yeah, I mean it's all. The generals and everybody, you know, the Chavez and Maduro, they're just stuffing the generals with money out, you know, stuffing their pockets and to keep them under their wing, you know. So what they did was they came in and they kicked out all the expats. They kicked out Exxon, they kicked out people that had the technology to get this heavy oil out of there. And so now they don't have the expertise. I mean, the oil's there, but, you know, with the regime. Yeah, mm-hmm. Now, Brazil has light oil offshore. Plus, offshore, it doesn't come on land. I mean, so it's being shipped out to different places, some into Brazil, but also being exported. And you've got partners that are the Exxons and the Chevrons and all that. So there's some saving grace there, but still politics is politics, you know. So anyway, I don't know. Any other questions?
What does being an enabler look like now?
For me? It's an encourager. It's turned from enablement to encouragement. Because my son is paying his bills. We got him a truck. I've got him five cars in his lifetime. And he wrecked every one of these things. That's part of the enablement that I was suffering. And now he's got a truck and he's paying for it. And he's making a good living and he's working his tail off. And it's yes, sir, no, sir. His yes is yes, his no is no. He's got his daughter. He had a daughter. She's 10 now and taking care of her as best he can. So that's what it's turned to encouragement. And I'm an encourager for my daughter. And she's 19. So, she, you know, when we were 19, okay, so the wife is, oh, I said, hey, you know, you were 19 too, you know. So. Oh, good. I take her out to play tennis and, you know, just got her a new tennis racket. And I don't see her as often as I could or I should, but she's very, you know, she loves her dad. And when he can see her, and he works a lot. So, I mean, it went for 7 years we didn't even see her because.
Yeah, I have to take her to the range.
Next year, yeah.
Is that a tourist
dog? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So she's been brought up by her grandma and her husband, and that's been a real blessing because they take really good care of this little girl, you know. So because Jared was off on his drug stuff, and his mother is still off in the drug scene or whatever. I don't know. It's another dynamic that will play itself out over time, you know. Yeah. So it is what it is. But I mean, I don't know. You just one day at a time, one foot in front of the other, you know, as best you can. See what God has in store, but.
Always the next challenge in it, you know.
Always. Always. And that's okay.
Why are you worried about tomorrow?
That's the truth. Amen to that. Well, it is one day at a time, and as you say, Jay, one step forward, foot soldiers in the Lord's army, you know, that's all we are. Try to be a general or anything like that, you're going to fall all over yourself. You know? I ain't into it. I'm just here. I mean, I'm thankful to be here. Heck, man. I shouldn't be here. That's for sure.
Anyway. I'm thankful you're here.
Oh.
I promise you, man. Oh. Great job.
Thanks.
Great job.
Yeah, I stop this. Can you stop it?